Hello, everyone. This is Glenda, and welcome to the Blessings of Christ on this beautiful August day, August the 3rd, 2025. And I'm going to turn it over to Nancy to get us all started and warmed up. Nancy, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's a privilege and a pleasure, and I just look forward to it. So I'm so happy to be here, folks. So happy to see so many of you coming on and some new faces and numbers I don't recognize. So welcome. If you've never been here before, we're just so glad to have you. And welcome our regular followers and community. We're just so happy to see you feeling your love and energy today. You always make a difference just being here. Whether you share something or have a question or a blessing request, we're just glad to be together. So thank you, Glenda, for being here every week.
My pleasure and my honor. I love speaking with you and for him. So I think we need to get started just with a general introduction. Yes, I do see quite a few new people, and that's wonderful. This is what we're covering is the second book that I was called to write, called The Keys of Yeshua. And it will help you long-term with your study if you actually have the book. Because in the short time we're together on Sundays, I don't have enough time to go into all the details or all the meanings. But these chapters are broken into lovely sections that help us to gain focus and understanding, application, and quiet time, reverence, meditation, and prayer as we go through these titles and the content within each chapter. Today we're covering the sacred and the spiritual. And we did last week, most of the time, our study is in two sections covering 2 weeks because they're long and there's a lot of content in each one. Last week, Nancy, with her beautiful reading voice, read the words of Yeshua that open every chapter, and we studied and contemplated the meaning in that, and then we went into our meditation and our conversation, which was not a lot, but just remember that at the end of everything that could be considered a preliminary presentation, there will be an opportunity for each person, if you want, to ask a question or express a revelation that you had. So this is where our community is offered an opportunity to connect. And there's really nothing you have to do except to press *6, which will bring you on the board. We'll recognize your call and open your line. So that's all there is to it. We keep it as simple as we can. And I would like to start this time by, I won't be reading, but I will be carrying us through the remaining elements of this chapter. One of them is correlations. Right after Yeshua's work, right after his message to me, which was some years ago now, as we pass through time and space, I picked out some correlations in the Old and New Testament so that you can see that what he spoke to me has a perfect correlation within the Bible. the things he speaks to me come from his heart and his interest in the community, seeking to understand him better. And so he takes that opportunity to speak in contemporary language, the same thing that he's spoken before. But it's also casual, and it's relevant to our lifestyle and our needs of today. So that's one of the things I like so much about the Keys of Yeshua. So he went on from that to create a reference to a biblical passage in Isaiah 6:3, where the prophet Isaiah says, in celebration, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole world is full of his glory." This emphasizes the fact that there is a part of everything that still and ultimately has the imprint of its creator. And we can find it, whether it's in another person or a lemon hanging on a tree waiting for our hands to pick it and our mouth to taste it. And instead of tasting the acidic fruit, let us taste the sweetness of the Lord, because it's all there. No matter what, it's all there. And there was this quote from 1 Peter 1:15-16. "But just as he called you," I'm going to start that again because I missed a word. "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." This is one of the strongest confirmations in the entire Bible about the fact that it was truly meant in the book of Genesis, where it is said, you were created in the image of God. Not all of you, not your nose, or your big toe, or your scale, or your gender, or some particular part of your body, but the essence of you was created in holiness to ultimately fulfill its destiny to be a fully realized child of God. Just as Yeshua said, be holy, for I am holy. What we're going to look at as we go further into this chapter is the fact that we have a choice. Every turn of experience, every step on the road, to make a choice about how we proceed with any issue. We can contend with it. We can accept it. Or we can improve it. As long as your goal is to do the best you can, improve what you can, it doesn't really matter where you start or where you go next, because life is a river moving. As long as it moves toward the ultimate that you seek, then you'll get there. You will find your way. And it doesn't even matter if you've fallen off the path and done some things wrong. It doesn't matter how far a person fell. Redemption can happen in an instant simply by turning around. The best example in the entire life of Yeshua is when he hung on a cross and beside him was a thief who looked over at him and he said, I see you for who you are. And Yeshua said, and you will be with me today in paradise. It was instantaneous. You don't have to cry and moan and punish yourself for years for doing something and then work your way up a ladder. What is in you, which is the sacredness, can be touched instantly. And your life is completely saved for the sacred realm. It's a done. It's a one and done. This is what so many people are referring to when they're talking about, have you been saved by the Holy Spirit? Well, it is a phenomena, and it does happen. But for many people, it doesn't happen instantly because we hold on to our regrets. We hold on to our mistakes. And we think if we remind ourselves of things we've done wrong, then we won't do it again. So we are the biggest delay we have in fulfilling our destiny on this earth. But still, the sacred is with you. It's there. For everything was created by God to be sacred. But then to every creation, he gave the ability to simply engage with life, to create, to procreate, to strive, to survive, to integrate, to be a fixture of life, to be a helpmate to others, to be a brother, a sister, a friend, and to walk the path together. Sometimes this is complicated. And I know what I mean. Life can be very, very complex. And layer upon layer, it becomes extremely difficult to locate that original layer of perfection that was you and still is you if you would simply be it. Instead, we tend to think that it's our obligation to go through all the layers, to struggle through the obstacles of life. And this is how we cultivate compassion. Okay, I'll give you an alternative. Let's just say, and this actually happened to me, I was in the process, this is in New York City, I was in the process of being mugged. And this is in addition to the train experience that I've told so often. Yeah, I was, I think it was on 57th Street. And someone came up to me from the back and asked me if I had the time. And, of course, that was designed to take my attention off my purse and to put it on my watch. Well, I didn't let that happen. Instead, I looked the person in the eyes and I said, you don't want to do this. You're a really good person. Don't you want me to think of you that way always? That person froze in his tracks. He turned, and then he looked back, and he said, yeah, lady, I do. And he was gone. You can get all the way through the layers. I was in a telephone conversation with someone a few days ago, and I said something that hurt their feelings. It wasn't anything bad. I just asked, well, they kept me waiting for 30 minutes, and I just asked what they were doing, where they were. And it wasn't meant as a criticism, but they took it that way. And one of them said, well, you know, you sometimes keep us waiting. I didn't want to go into an argument. I said, yes, I do, and I'm very, very sorry about that. Well, they weren't content because they wanted that complexity to play out. And another one said, yeah, I remember like about 5 days ago, you were, you couldn't get to the phone on time. And I just replied, I wasn't going to argue with him. I just said, you have my sincerest apology. This was not me making less of you. I just couldn't get here any sooner. And I really, really regret that I hurt your feelings, because your feelings are so important to me. I love it when you smile. And I love it when you're happy. And then the third one said, it's okay. It's all right. You know, we got it. And it was all over. You can avert any argument by looking for that layer, which is better. You may not get all the way to the sublime or the holy, but there's always a better place than argument. There's a better place than conflict. And there's a better place than judgment. And it starts with taking responsibility for the moment that you're in. You're here being responsible. And that's exactly what God did with us. He created us. And then he showed us the garden. And he said, now go and taste every fruit. Take care of it. It's yours. And I can only imagine how beautiful it was. But we do know that Adam didn't say, oh, but that's a lot of work. He didn't. Because he felt the magnificence of the gift. You see, we've got a choice in every situation. Do we go to the complicated or do we go to the sublime? And that's when we begin to find the real answers in everything. Now, in all things, there's spirit. And I should go back and refresh some of the things we talked about last week, because spirit is also in all things. It's what connects us. It's what connects all the layers of our reality. It connects all the experiences of our life. And spirit has the amazing way of embracing everything. Good, bad, boring, indifferent. It's there as the connecting fiber that allows us to communicate. I'm back to writing in my new book. And what I was writing on last night is relevant because I was writing about how important communication is in life in order to have the better life, in order to reach up to the best that's possible for you. You've got to be able to communicate because the complexity of life can fold in upon itself, layer upon layer, until you can't even remember it, much less walk through it. But spirit remembers everything. And by focusing in on the spirit of what you're going to either communicate with or deal with or visit with or just explore, you find the spirit of the thing you want to know better, and the spirit will unfold the layers that you need to look at, you need to examine. It holds everything together because there is spirit in all things. Those of you, which is almost everybody, I would think, know that years ago, I painted a portrait of Yeshua. And that's how this work began. During that portrait, while I was painting, he and I had conversations. And those conversations eventually became the book, Love Without End. Jesus Speaks. People would ask me, though, it's over 400 pages. And people would ask me, Linda, how could you remember all this? And I would say, the truth is, I couldn't. I couldn't remember. I remembered the highlights, of course, but I just had to get started. I had taken lots of notes as I went through it, but that wasn't nearly enough. So I would take what memory I had, what notes I had, and I would get started. And as I would write, the spirit of the moment, the spirit of the time, and the Holy Spirit would open up the whole passage so that I could see it. In other words, the Spirit exposed everything. And the Holy Spirit brought the presence of Yeshua back into the words that he spoke. This is how we discover and how we create. It's the Spirit in all things. I have started so many paintings in my life on a blank white canvas that actually scares a lot of artists. They have the shock of nothing staring them in the face, and they want it. If I'm working with a student, I say, don't worry about it. Just make the first mark. Take the blank white off, and don't even worry where you put it. It's a start. They make one mark, and then they know where to put a second one, and a third, and a fourth. And pretty soon, the idea of the painting begins to unfold. This is the way spirit works. You just have to get started. You have to trust yourself. You have to trust the fact that you've got creativity within you. You've got something you want to say. Something you want to communicate. And the spirit within you and within that canvas will get together and have a conversation until it becomes something real that you want to express. The same thing is true if you're writing music. The same thing is true if you're writing a book. The first word is the key. Just like in the book of John. In the beginning was the Word. John didn't say, in the beginning, God just started speaking and spewing out words. No, he said there was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. In other words, it expanded through the very presence of God. Okay, for a musician, that first note sets the tone. Well, it establishes the key, for one thing, the key you're going to compose or write in. And everything else flows. We have to trust ourselves to write that first note, take that first step, get that first thought, and then listen and speak further. It's all part of a process of inner discovery and external expression. And it brings a whole complete development or creation in the end when it's done. It's a very, very special experience. And it does begin with communication. And then communication proceeds into actually liking what you said or communicated. Oh my goodness. You know, you put one mark on a canvas and say, hey, that's pretty good. I kind of like that. You're going to go on and build on it. You just definitely will. And if you're going up to talk to somebody, just remember that person is as full of spirit as you are. All you have to say sometimes is hi, or, you know, I really like your shirt. That is so cool. And they'll give you some attention. And they'll like what you said. They'll probably say something likable to you. And so it goes. The next word follows. And maybe the next compliments follow, or at least the next expression of interest, until you've got a full-blown conversation. And inside that full-blown conversation, something else may emerge. And that's a shared reality. You might say, you know, I saw that shirt for the first time at a concert. It was, and they'll say, I was at that concert. Oh my goodness, wasn't it fabulous? Yeah, it was. Okay. Now you know you have something in common. You could actually build a friendship on that. You know, it doesn't take much to get started on a friendship. It just takes getting that first word out. Knowing that the spirit that connects you with that person will know what's coming next. So yes, there is spirit in all things. And in the highest dimension of all things, there is God. The sublime, the divine, that which we all ultimately seek. And you may not see that at first, but you can work with the fact that there's spirit there. There's spirit in nature. There's spirit in a rock. For heaven's sake, it's in everything because it's the very energy that compels us to coexist and makes it possible that we can coexist. Then within the spirit, we also can look for the divine. In this chapter is something I want to call your attention to. Now you'll need the book in order to do this, but still, I know most of you have it. If you don't, there's a real good place to find it, and that well, you can find it on Amazon actually, but you can find it in our web store, and it's The Keys of Yeshua, and this there's a chart on page 103. And it's a chart about the infinite soul, about how things move up or down according to the conditions of life. And you can see a great progression for moving. Moving up, moving down, moving over, connecting with others. And it really expresses the fluidity of what is possible for us in life, in living. On just the opposite page from that, in another section, there's some signs and symptoms of inner peace, which dwells in this realm of the spiritual and the sacred. I think you'll like it. And I'll read it for you very quickly, because I don't want to leave you hanging. Okay. A tendency to think and act spontaneously rather than on fears resulting from past experiences. Well, those past experiences are the layers of life and reality I referred to that you don't have to work through in order to arrive at your true self. And the second one is an unmistakable ability to enjoy each moment. That's because each moment, no matter whatever else is there, still contains the holy presence of God. And the connection of spirit to everything else. Number three, a loss of interest in judging other people. Oh my goodness, that's a big one. You know, we could judge almost anything. You could see a person could walk up to you with the most beautiful lacy frills around their neck, and you admire them, but you could say, oh, that's really beautiful, but you would look so much better in pink instead of yellow. You think you're making a compliment, but the other person doesn't take it that way. The other person's going to think, yeah, but yellow is all I've got. Gee, I wonder if I have to go buy a pink one. No, of course not. Someone just took that away from you. And that's not a kind thing to do. Number five. Oh, and I love this. A loss of interest in conflict. If you lose interest in conflict, you don't have to go there. You just don't. Like in the two examples I told you about a few minutes ago, you just don't have to go there if you're not interested. A lot of people are. And sometimes we think, well, because they want to dispute something, I guess I'd better enter the conversation and give them my opinion. No, you don't. You don't. You can just say, well, that's interesting. Wow, I remember that. And next is a loss of ability to worry. That is faith at its highest level. You know there's going to be a good outcome. Or maybe you don't know it's going to be a good outcome. You might not survive cancer, but you're going to see God. You're going to see all those who went before you. You're going to be having a really great time. Oh, by the way, I should tell you, that Bishop Dale is completely cancer-free. He made it through all of his therapy. He was a yeoman, a champion, courageous in every way. He made it through, no lymphoma, and he's on his way back to recovering from the hardship of chemotherapy, which was actually worse than the lymphoma. But that's neither here nor there. It's history for him, and he doesn't focus on it. He just focused on the future he has ahead of himself. And he does want me to thank you for all your prayers. Okay. But the next one now is frequent, overwhelming episodes of appreciation. No matter what you might be lacking, you look to the right or the left of it and say, oh, but I've got my kids and I just love them. I've got my dog, and he and I have the greatest time. End of the day, taking a walk. Just overwhelming episodes of appreciation. And the next one, contented feelings and sense of unity with others and nature. What I like to do on that one is start my day off that way. Now, it could be, for many of you, that's a good way to end the day, because you did have, might have had a lot of challenges, a lot of things thrown at you that you could have taken one way or the other, but at the end of the day, you're contented. Everything is fine. Everything went well. And you just enjoy being with nature on the back porch. And the next one is frequent attacks of smiling. Just nothing to smile about, but you just feel like doing it. You ever had that? That comes from inner peace. You're smiling because of the inner peace. And it's wonderful. An increased susceptibility to the love extended by others, as well as the uncontrollable urge to extend it back. Wow. To love and be loved is nothing like it. And last of all, which I'm sure there's others we could say, but on this page, the last of all is much joy and happiness. When you can go through this list at the beginning of the day or the end, doesn't matter. You're in a state of inner peace. You're in a state of being blessed. And how do we get there? Well, it's all in this chapter. It's about recognizing the divine within you, which can overcome anything. And the spirit which connects you with others and with everything else. So what happens when you recognize the spirit connecting you with everything else is there's nothing outside you. There is no outside. You're one with it. It's you. So make it happy. If you knew it was all you, would you want to make it happy? Well, of course you would. Of course. A few days ago, I was watching a documentary on the very, very popular TV show called Frasier. And the subject turned to basically why everything was so funny, even though it wasn't started as a comedic kind of script. It was just people doing their life, doing their thing. And they would get into some kind of issue or contest or conflict. But it would always become comedy. And she was one of the directors, and she said, well, what we all knew is that everything in the end would work out. And so we just followed the situation until it became inevitable how it would work out. And we put that inevitability into the script. And it made everything funny, because most of the time we take life too seriously. It lightened it up just to know that everything in the end would work out, that it would be a happy ending, and we would laugh about it. Well, I think this is one of the reasons, the best reasons to believe in heaven. Now, heaven's not going to be the same for any of us, or at least not, it may be the same, but our visions of it will be different. For some of you, it will be an eternal landscape of infinite potential. For others, it will be like a picnic ground with all your favorite people there, and angels playing music to celebrate your arrival and your reunion. For others, it will be reunion with your kids or the love of your life, or knowing that your life served a great purpose and you were loved. So it's going to be a little different for each person. I mean, the subjective experience of it. But in the end, if we know that after we get through this journey we're on, with all the bumps in the road, all the storms we get caught in and drenched wet within on our way home, we're going to arrive there and be greeted with towels to dry off, love to take our hand, a hand around our back, guiding us to a place where someone will say, welcome home. You did well. And we're going to show you all the hardships that everyone else had, so you are not alone. The fact that you had hardships doesn't mean you were being judged. Everybody has hardships. Everybody. The more compassionate you are, the more you will begin to see that. And it will take the load off your own back. As we care for others, we will find how much they care for us. We're all going through beautiful times and tragic times. We all have to confront our inability to push away what hurts. And finally, we say, okay, if it hurts, I'll take it, because I won't be here always. In the name of the Lord, I will do my best. And I will do the work I came to do. We will become the hero of our own life. And perhaps it's your duty as a person to show others the fallibility of life and the hardship that they have been blessed to rise above. Perhaps you are a surrogate for them, and you have taken their load. But you will be honored by this revelation when you arrive home. And you will learn that there have been so many waiting for you to come back. For the hugs, the smiles, the love, and the remembrance. When you know it's all going to work out, you can bear up to anything, my friends. How do you think Yeshua could take the torture he went through and then on the cross to say, Father, forgive them all, for they know not what they do? And save the man hanging beside him. And with his mighty, bleeding heart, forgive the world. For it too did not know what it was doing. It's all going to work out, my friends, because of two great things that are here. One is the sacred. And the other is the spiritual. The spiritual connects you. The sacred redeems you. And it's always here. The sacred is here because God created all the elements which we put together to form the world and the situation and the cultures to which we belong. All of the elements that make it up were created by God. Though buried deep within the folds of reality, there is God. All you have to do is accept it. In between everything that feels so distant, there is spirit. And in spirit, there is no time and space. Yes, you can love someone deeply who's on the other side of the world with no loss of love, no impairment of connection, just you and the other. And yes, you can love forever those who have left this earth, this world. And there's no impairment or separation. I just love Saint Bernadette. And sometimes she talks to me in my dreams. And then when I wake up and I think back, I wonder if that was just in my mind. And I'll be having coffee and she'll say, good morning. It was nice being with you last night. I go, oh, wow, she really was with me. Of course she was. There is no distance in spirit. And you don't have to make it out to be fantasy. You don't have to say it was just an illusion in order to justify it. You can be with anything through spirit. Although I advise you not be with anything negative through spirit. It can be anything. And you can choose. So, in our blessing, as we come here to receive the blessings of God, of Yeshua and the Holy Spirit, reach and accept as if their hand is touching whatever hurts. Reach and accept that their heart is taking you into the comfort of their being. Reach and allow as if they have all the answers, because they do. They can see what you don't see. And sometimes we resist the idea that there is a bigger picture, because we've made up our mind that the smaller idea is the right one. Many centuries ago, Galileo was very perturbed that things didn't feel right in the explanations science and theologians gave to the earth being the center of creation. Then this doesn't make sense. And he projected the idea, which almost cost him his life. That everything was actually organized around solar centricity, not earth centricity. Everything revolved around the sun. Well, that completely upended huge sections of theology. And he was the scourge of the earth because he had countered the word of God. Well, we humans have an interesting way of taking the word of God and adjusting it to what we understand from a more limited perspective. I suggest that you be open to a broader perspective on all things. In my youth, I was privileged to watch the first rocket to land on the moon that took a moonshot of Earth. And it changed everything. We got to see Earth from a broader perspective. Globally, everything changed. It began to ignite a more humanitarian grace and tolerance of other people, because we weren't just on different planes of a flat scale. We were on the curvature of one perfectly integrated creation of life. We were all part of one planet. And that one planet revolved upon its own singular axis. Inside you, there is a center, a sacred center, And Yeshua talks about that in this chapter. I really want you to find it and read it, because it relates in great depth to the chapter about the Sacred Heart. There is a sacred center to everything that is unique and whole unto itself. It will organize around that center. And that center is where you find the holy. That's why it's called the Sacred Heart. It's near the biological heart, but it's not quite the same thing. It's the center of you, where everything becomes holy and quite irrelevant to external issues. It doesn't require that you go out and fight a war in order to be right. It doesn't require that you travel around the world in order to understand other people, because you know in the sacred center that they're essentially like you. They laugh, they cry, they hurt, and they get hungry. They worry, and they rejoice. We're not all that different, and you don't have to travel around the world to know that. In this sacred center, you can begin to relate to everything that everyone else is and has, and save yourself the burden of having to acquire everything in order to know what it would feel like to have that thing. Let somebody else have it. You have what you have. What matters is that you have what you need in order to be complete as yourself. That's what matters. And you might wind up having very little of a physical, material reality. Most of the saints had almost nothing. And they lived on almost nothing. Yeshua sent the apostles out to the world to teach the story of his life. And he didn't send them with a wallet full of cash. He sent them with nothing but their sandals and a backpack if they needed to carry some morsels of bread or whatever. And he said, you will find everything you need at the service point of your work. Go. Tell the story, and the Holy Spirit will be with you, and I will be with you, and every need will be taken care of. So they went. It isn't what you lack that's hurting you. What hurts most people is thinking that it is. When you're at the sacred center of your own being, you're at that place where you can see every spoke of the wheel, every point on the rim of the wheel, and everything the wheel rolls over or touches, and every life that you have an impact on. You see that, and your life is full. So, my friends, the sacred and the spiritual are with us throughout life, from the beginning to the end. And in the great, greater realization that there never was a beginning and there never will be an end for the sacred and the spiritual. Only things of the material have beginnings and ends. That's it. They have to be recycled. And it was by an ordinance of God that they be recycled. Why? To keep them living. For all things material, movement is essential. for living. Change is essential for movement. Cycles of growth and end and rebirth are essential for life. And life goes on, but there are cycles within life. And within your life, there are cycles also. But they're only cycles with regard to the living. The sacred and the spiritual are there forever. So that's where you seek your comfort, your joy, and your everlasting peace. Now, we are at 4 o'clock. And we're going to say amen and close the session. Nancy, would you take over and open our board to see if we have those who would like to comment?
Absolutely. Love to do it. Thank you, Glenda. Ooh. We have Caroline. Oh, no, I think we have Stormy first. Is this you, Stormy?
Yes, it is.
Hello, hi, Stormy. We prayed for you.
Well, that's why I'm calling, because my heart doctor has asked me to pray for his 4-year-old boy, and I'd like to spell the first name for you. It's I-S-A. He and I made a very, very deep spiritual connection the first time I saw him. He'd already stopped and started my heart, and that's helping me. And but Isa, he asked me to pray for his 4-year-old boy with a medical complication. Now, that is a blessing right there. That
absolutely.
That this Islamic man, who I made a very big impression upon, and wants to really get me well so I can continue to pray for his son.
Awesome. That's a perfect example of how the Spirit connects us again and again and again with those we are here to serve.
Yeah, yeah. I've been asking for him in prayer, and his wife made him move out of the small town up here. Says, you got to get into a bigger city to practice your medicine. He says, my wife made me move. I says, well, you're an answer to my prayer. And I wanted a heart doctor with Islamic connections to heal me. And all that is
that's
coming
great.
To pain. And he wants to learn more about who I am. It's just really, really interesting.
This is how friendships are made.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody is, everywhere I go, I'm friends with everybody. Always, always have been, always will be. It's just my nature.
Of course. Of course and it is your nature.
Appreciate your words today. And you know that I'm with you. Whether I'm on the call or not, but I heard there's some heavy rain happening in your part of the neck of the woods, possibly today.
Not right now. We have blue skies right now.
Yeah, more in Dallas they said. Well, it was around 2 o'clock. I just had some rain on the blessing call here, but keep up the good work, my friend.
Thank you.
You too, Nancy.
Thank you, Stormy. Yeah, that was a profound message today, right, Stormy?
I really consider, I've really been blessed so many ways. And God says, If you do not know that you are blessing, I'm going to bless you again and again. Now go and bless my people. And
he
talked about music. The way that I write and compose all of my music, I tell people, all of this that I have done in composing music, this is how I pray.
Of course, it is. Well, but, thank you, Stormy. And we are so glad to receive your prayers.
It's just such an honor to, I'm turning 77 on August 4th. And
that's tomorrow.
Happy birthday, Stormy.
Yeah, how did I survive myself for 77 years? It must have been with it because I wasn't doing such a good job. So,
happy birthday, Stormy.
Yeah, let's go on for the next call here.
All right. Well, happy birthday. I know the whole community is wishing you a happy birthday.
Yeah.
Thank you, Stormy. Bye-bye. We love you. Bye-bye. We have Caroline. Hi, Caroline. We're so glad you're here today.
Hi, and I hope you had a really great birthday celebration last week.
There's
a lot of birthdays happening right now.
Lots of birthdays, yeah. How were you? How were you? Did you guys get that the tsunami?
The tsunami? Well, actually, at least here in Maui, people scurried up to higher ground. There were major traffic jams, but nothing really happened in Maui. I think one harbor in Oahu was the parking lot was flooded, but we were kind of lucky. I think I did some praying, and maybe Joshua helped a little bit there, but we didn't. Yep, it was supposed to be the real deal this time around, this tsunami warning, because we've had a number of ones that weren't such a major thing, but this is a massive earthquake that happened in Russia that they thought would spark a tsunami, but we were pretty safe, so that was great, and I'm very grateful that nothing happened for that.
Oh, yes, and our prayers were with you.
Yeah, and I have to say, the checklist on page 104 in the Keys of Yeshua really looked that over and over again, that you read out, amazing. It's a work in progress, though, to get to those points. I found it very helpful, though, in terms of some issues that I'm having with my partner, a lovely guy, but it's always a work in progress again with that. And as you said, communication is important, and I hope I have Yeshua's blessings for all of that to go well. So that's the first thing that I was going to ask about. But the second one is that my boyfriend is doing some amazing things on the island, and he has a very important meeting with somebody from permitting and the permitting department, one of the departments there tomorrow. He's gone through loads of hoops to try and get everything right. So I really would like Yeshua's blessing for us to have success there with that meeting that's happening tomorrow. It's an online meeting, but it's a very important one. So that's really what I'm asking for today, for a blessing for that. And that, unfortunately, is a material thing. All the things about permits and controls from government and that kind of stuff, that isn't really God's work, but we still need some blessings to make those kinds of things go smoothly for us, to let the mortals who aren't the deciders on those issues.
You're always doing great work, Carolyn, and I thank you so much for it.
Okay, and also blessings for your book. May that come out soon and benefit as many people as the other amazing books you've written have. So so that's good.
Thank you. You're gonna love it.
Working on that one, and looking forward to seeing the latest version of that.
I think you'll love it. Okay. Well, and thank you for your many efforts of assistance with me on the book. And you're going to see your influence show up.
Great. Well, I'm very honored that you're listening to some of the things that I say, you know.
I am going to show up in the book, so you will have no trouble recognizing them. Okay.
Great. Okay, well, love to all. We should maybe move on to the next person, thank you.
Thank you, and I'm so glad you brought up those signs of inner peace, because that is a really great list, and Glenda, I love that that's part of this chapter, and hope everyone takes some time with it, because when those things pop up for you and you realize it's happening, it's pretty wonderful, you know?
Yeah, put a bookmark there on page 104, yeah? That's where it is in Peace and Gentleness.
Well, I think both sides, too, the other side with the diagram,
yes,
I think
it's
one of those ones that
amazing.
We should turn into a little laminated card that we keep on our person. So it's just wonderful.
You know, I thought about that at one time. And it's true. 103, 104 can save your life. It should be a rescue card.
Well, you know, Glenda, I was really struck how you said, you know, we are the biggest delay, you know, with that, you know, redemption happening in an instant, and that we sort of get in our own way. And Yeshua told you, you know, we're struggling because we focus on all the complications. And then you brought it through for us about, you know, do we want it complicated or do we want to go to the sublime? And to know that everything you said today, and then what did you do right at the end, you know, masterfully bring us right back to the heart, because the mind really can't figure out divinity, but, you know, always taking us back to the heart where we don't have to worry and we don't have to have conflict and we can smile often. And so thank you, Glenda. It was really profound today. I feel it always is. And I think as Ken and Steven say, you knocked it out of the park. You always do. But I feel like they'll go back to this call a lot. People will listen to it because it has so many answers. And it's one of his major keys. And so thank you, Glenda. It was just such a beautiful call today.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
And our board is clear.
Have a caller?
No, we have a cleared board, I was just saying. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, I've got one more thing to say.
Sure.
Before we, there might be one more person that comes in, because what I'm going to say is it's an everybody issue. An everybody issue. Throughout life, we really try hard to rescue our ego. It's like it's our other self. And we think if it dies, we die. And we don't really realize that it's irrelevant. It neither lives nor dies. It's just there as long as we keep putting it in the sand with our toes, writing our name with it, and saying, oh, hi. And we want to recognize and redeem our ego. But the tide comes in every night and washes it away. So, we can wash it away permanently by accepting our redemption, because we were created in the image of God. Our ego was created in the image of our limited self, trying to redeem us. So in turn, we try to save it. It's a crazy back and forth drama that eventually we do let go of. But how much better life will be if we let go of it sooner than later. And a lot of Yeshua's message was exactly directed to that. Just let go of it.
Right.
You know, it's not important. It's not important that you make it right. Apologies are probably the most splendid coin you have in your pocket. Have lots of them and distribute them frequently. Okay, everybody. Now,
well, Glenn, I do want
to,
if I could just, I just would like to add one request. I didn't send it in, but if we could just put Jaina and Jason in the blessing, that would just be lovely. So thank you.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. And we know what that's all about. It's about the sacredness of family and the sacredness of love that we have for our children and those we share life with.
So, thank you.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. Let's just great. All right. Now, let's just get loose. Let's get loose and lively, okay? Shake it out. Let's do the shakeout dance. Stand up if you can and just shake everything. Shake your hands, your arms, your legs. Okay, let's just do a shakeout dance. Move a little bit. Move your legs forward and backwards if you can still kick up. That would be great. Otherwise, do what you can. For those who can't stand, whether you're sitting or in bed, I hope at least, the very least, you can raise your leg a little bit. If you can, stretch it. And you stretch it by moving your foot forward. And then you stretch it by moving your foot tipped like a ballerina. Tiptoe down so that you stretch the front of your leg. Now do that on both legs. For those of you who are standing, step forward and feel the pressure. Step back and feel the pressure on the back of your leg. Step to the side and feel both sides of your leg. And then the other side. Step to the side. Shift your weight so that you stretch different muscles inside every stance. And by the way, for those of you who sometimes have what we call a Charlie horse, and I do sometimes when I've just been sitting too long, the best way through it is actually get up and stand on it. Just stand on it. You're going to stretch, gently stretch the muscles that are contracting. It's just a spontaneous contraction that you didn't expect or consent to. But by stretching, just stretch on whatever leg it's on, whatever arm it's on, and they're really bad if they happen in the back, but you still can stretch into them. And it's just a contraction. That's all it is. It's not something horrible. And you're probably a little deficient in magnesium, maybe potassium. Consult your doctor on what you might be a little deficient on. Take care of that and learn how to stretch the muscles of your body. That keeps them loose. And during the day, a good thing always to do is a little shakeout. Just keep things moving. The shakeout also helps your lymphatic system to stay fluid because it doesn't have a pumper like the heart. Our blood circulation is pumped because it's vital that it reach consistently and expectantly every part of your body. You have to have the oxygen that it brings and, of course, the nutrition it brings. So it is pumped, but your lymphatic system, which is really the keystone of your immune system, it keeps you well. Keeps you healthy, keeps your cells cleaned out, and your body drained of contaminants that were left behind that your circulatory system could not eliminate. So it finishes the cleanup you got to have it. But you got to move in order to have it work. So this is why people who sit a lot in the last couple of decades of their life pick up their ticket to heaven a little sooner, because they're not cleaning out their body. They're not exercising in this way. So be sure and do that. It keeps your mind clear. It keeps you from brain fog. It keeps your eyes clear, your skin clear, and you just look better. You feel better. You feel perkier. And so it's just a good thing to do, period. And both of these actions are really good to do before you pray or you meditate. And that's not because you're going to pray with your lymphatic system or your circulatory system. It's going to be because you have more cleanliness with which to pray. In the Bible, it says, cleanliness is next to godliness. You don't want all the layers, like what we've been talking about today. We build up layers of contamination. It's just like the kitchen counter. Okay, you go through a day, and you think you're cleaning up, you're wiping up your spills, and you're just a little dusting of this, little sprinkle of that. It all looks clean. But at the end of the day, you take some kind of cleaner, whatever your choice is. You spray it and you wipe it with a clean paper towel and you go, oh my Lord, you mean it was that dirty? You didn't know. You couldn't see it, but it was there, you know. In addition to which, the cat might have walked over it during the day two or three times. You got to clean that up. And with your body, you have no idea what you might have breathed in addition to the good stuff. There's so much in our air. And in the beverages we drink, in the foods we eat, there's so much that our circulatory and lymphatic system has to clean up. And it keeps us basic. It keeps us closer to the true self we are and the more perfect level of living we were intended to live. Hydrate. Eat purer foods, cleaner foods. It keeps you closer to God. Just as a matter of habit, you'll stay more cheerful. You will stay more inspired. And on top of that, simple things like you'll be a better driver. You'll keep to your budget without thinking that you're depleted of funds. You'll just say, okay, well, I don't buy that today. Get busy. Let the funds accumulate, and then you get what you wanted. You don't fret over it because life is all flowing. Everything is flowing, and it's flowing around you and through you. Now, what we want to do right now is preparing us for receiving what God is going to flow into us. For what Yeshua and the Holy Spirit are going to infuse into our being, which will change the potential for everything. But you have to receive, which means you've got to have a few open windows, a few open doors, a little bit of cleanliness to take in the special presence of what they're offering. So, Now what we want to do is take a really deep breath. And this one, we're going to inhale through our nose deeply into our lungs. Expand your ribs as far as you can, your diaphragm as low as you can. And the muscles above your shoulders, raise them so that you've got more capacity in your lungs upwardly. Hold it and now blow it out so that you've really emptied your lungs. We're going to do that again. Same thing. In, and in. As fully as you can, hold it. Long enough to feel it. And now blow it out. This time, you're going to blow. We're going to inhale again through your nose. But we're going to inhale upwardly. You're still going to get plenty in your lungs, don't worry about it. But we're going to fill our sinus cavities with air. Actually, what we want is oxygen. Because that's what fights allergic response and sinus infections. It clears it out. Plenty, plenty of oxygen up. Pull and hold. Okay, now blow it out. One more time. Up. As much as you can. And now blow it out. We're going to focus now on our four square breath. This is the breath that we use for controlling our ordinary moments of life. Because we realize in this breath that it's all just part of the process of living. We give. We pause. We take. And we pause. In everything in life, but most especially when we focus upon our breath in these regards. Our breath teaches our body and our life how to do everything better. We're going to give breath out. Breathe out. Experience the gift. You just gave life to the world. Now pause to give it a moment to be received. Now inhale your gift back from life. Take the gift with love and hold it. But allow it to be received by your whole body. Hold it long enough for it to be received. And now say thank you. As you pause. Draw a new breath and give. Let it be received. Pause. take back your gift. Hold it. Inhale it. Take it in. Pause with gratitude. Now give again. We call this a four square breath. Keep doing it. Now keep doing it. Just keep on. Because it's like drawing around the edge of a box. And on each side of the box, we've got a different blessing to offer. Giving. Sharing. Taking. Receiving. Giving. Sharing. Taking. Receiving. And we call it four square because we count to four on each movement. We give to the count of four, and that's your four, not mine. You can go as fast or as slow as you want. We share to the count of four. We take to the count of four. And we take in to the count of four. You can celebrate this type of breath no matter what you're doing. And I often find it a great relief when I'm driving because it doesn't distract you at all. You don't have to look in. You don't have to retreat from the world because you're giving into the world, taking back from the world, sharing with the world, and supporting your body all through the process of breathing. It's very relaxing, very regenerating of energy. You can break the tension in an office room that's just on the verge of arguing by practicing this breath quietly, slowly, personally. And notice the whole tone of the room changes, but most especially your own need to become involved will change. It's a great breath to master and to use any time in life. I use it before bed because sometimes when I'm trying to sleep, I had noticed I inadvertently kind of start holding my breath. It's like I had equated peacefulness with holding my breath. Like as a little child, someone had told me, now hold your breath and be quiet. Well, that's not the best way to be quiet. The best way to be quiet is to be normally breathing, but mindfully breathing. Okay, let us begin our blessing. Blessing givers, will you join me? I will offer my prayer to Yeshua. Dear Lord, brother to us all, redeemer, teacher, healer, giver of blessing, and redeemer of souls. You are everything to us. We thank you for being that light in our life, which never, never dies, which is always burning and reminds us to light our life and shine for others. We thank you for being here with us and for offering us blessings today. We love you, and we receive your love. Please hear the prayers of each person, that we may honor each one individually for what he or she needs, for what each person is facing in life and going through. Walk with them. Assure them of the best possible outcome for their life. We pray the Holy Spirit be with everyone and fill everyone with the blessings of God. And we pray that the grace of God be showered upon us, that big things shall become little, and little things shall become none, nothing at all, that we may be greater than all the troubles of our life, that we may be greater than anything trying to stop us or halt us in our path, or present us with mysteries, that we may continue walking toward the light, that we shall be redeemed, healed, and made whole. In all these things, we pray in your holy name, Yeshua. Amen. Let us begin. My friends, blessing givers, I call you to join me. Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, I want you to stay quiet, unattached to the world, and find a level place, a bed, a sofa, a mat, where you can stretch out and rest for at least 7 minutes. Just be in 0 point thought, energy, expectation. Allow the grace of God to pour upon you and the will of God to etch within you all the possibilities for fulfilling your blessing. Be with God and fulfill yourself. Amen.